Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Especially as we consider together verses 12 to 31. 12 to 31. I wonder if you are a forgetful person, prone to forgetting things. Maybe you've had the experience where you've forgotten where you've parked the car. I know I've had that even leaving church sometimes. I'm just not sure where I've parked the car some weeks. Maybe you've forgotten an important appointment or a meeting. I think most of us know what it's like to be forgetful. The people Isaiah is writing to were a forgetful people. They hadn't forgotten an appointment or where they'd left their keys. They'd forgotten something much more important. They had forgotten who their God was. Who their God was. I wonder if you've forgotten that this evening. I wonder if you have forgotten who God really is. God says here in this passage, on two occasions, verse 21, do you not know? Do you not hear? And again, verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? It wasn't that the people he's writing to hadn't heard. They clearly had heard. They did know these things, but they had forgotten. They had forgotten so easily. And that was the basis of their problems. They had forgotten who God really was. And it could be that the same is happening or has happened in your life and in mine. And Isaiah is writing to a muddled, forgetful community. It's primarily a message for God's people who were held captive in Babylon when they had been taken away from Jerusalem. And they're in exile, they're fretting, they're filled with all sorts of troubled thoughts. We see that in verse 27. They're saying to themselves, my way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by God. They think God's forgotten about them. The reality is, they have forgotten who God is. They've forgotten what he's like. And that's what Isaiah seeks to redress in this passage. If you're not a Christian this evening, your greatest need is to behold this God, to know who God is. If you are a Christian, you need to know him more and more and more. To all of our fretting, to all of our sleepless nights, to all of our troubles, God says to us this evening, do you not know? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Knowing who God is changes you. It changes your life completely. We read in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. They shall stand firm and take action. Our need this evening is to know God better. And in this passage, the picture, the information we're given about God is quite simply stunning. It's stunning. Isaiah paints a breathtaking picture for us. He's lifting our eyes to great heights here. Tremendous verses. And as we've been touching in this chapter and on the theme of comfort, it begins with comfort, and comfort is all throughout the chapter. We're going to consider six truths about God this evening. Six truths that ought to bring us great comfort. So firstly, we see the Lord is awesome. The Lord is awesome. Verses 12 and then 15 to 17. The Lord is awesome. In verse 12, Isaiah asks, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?" Have you ever tried that? To see how much water you can get into the hollow of your hand? Could you even get an egg cup full? God says, "All of the water that covers this earth, they're in my hands." About 70% of this planet covered in water. Scientists estimate it to be about 326 million trillion gallons. How they work that out, I have no idea. God says, "It's all in my hand." It just fits there. Isaiah continues, "He has marked off the heavens with a span." I measured the breadth of my hand span this week. My hands, they're bigger than average. I can span about 23 centimeters, give or take. Some of you I know could be bigger than that. The breadth of God's hands, the breadth of God's hands, as high as the heavens. As high as the heavens. Now, of course, he doesn't have hands like ours. As we touched on this morning, he doesn't have body parts at all, God. But he's stooping down to us, using language here that we can understand, so that we'll understand and appreciate his greatness more. Verse 12 continues, "Who has enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance?" Or verse 15, "The nations are like a drop from a bucket. They're accounted as dust on the scales." Verse 17, "All the nations are as nothing to him, accounted as less than nothing." The whole idea in those three verses, God calling the superpowers of the world, he says, "They're just like dust to me. Dust." Imagine when you're next in the supermarket buying your groceries. You want some apples. You take them to the checkouts, and the lady puts them in the scales. And imagine if she puts them on the scales. You say, "Well, hang on, whoa. There's a bit of dust there in the scales. But we need to brush that off. I'm not paying for that dust." She would look at you, wouldn't she? She would look at you. It's so insignificant. A tiny piece of dust. It's as nothing. Isaiah says, "The nations to God, they're just like dust on the scales. Like a drop in the bucket." Not a great bucket full, but just a drop. You think you've completely emptied the bucket, but just the drop that's left. God says, "That's what the nations are like before me. They're less than nothing compared to my greatness." Verse 16, Isaiah speaks about Lebanon. Now, Lebanon was the most fertile place they knew of in those days, covered with beautiful trees. Isaiah says, If you could gather all the trees of Lebanon, if you could make a great big bonfire, if you could get all of their animals to make a tremendous sacrifice, it still wouldn't be worth offering up to this God. He is so great. God's saying here, "Do you not know? Do you not know, Christian, how awesome your God is? Behold him this evening. See his power. The Lord is awesome." A second truth we see in this passage: the Lord is all wise. The Lord is all wise. Verses 13 and 14. They read, "Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? What man shows him counsel? Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Who taught the Lord the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding?" It's nice, isn't it, to have someone to go and ask advice from time to time. A friend, a family member, someone from the church. Isaiah asks us this evening, Well, did God have to go to anyone? Did God have to ask advice from anyone about making the universe? Is there anyone who advised the Lord when it came to creating everything? Who gave God counsel? Now, this would have been extremely relevant, of course, for the people of Judah when they'd been carried off to Babylon and to live there in exile. In Babylon mythology, their great creator god Marduk, he couldn't proceed with creation without consulting Ea, the all-wise god. So the Babylonians' greatest god, he needed to get counsel. He needed to get advice, according to their mythology. These verses are laughing somewhat at the god of Babylon. God says, I'm not like that. I'm the all-wise god. The God, verse 28, whose understanding is unsearchable. Unsearchable. He's the all-wise God. Let's not forget that, friends. Let's not forget that. When events in your life aren't going the way you would have them go, when they're not going according to your timetable, remember, our God, his understanding is unsearchable. He knows what he's doing. He's all wise. He's all wise. So this God, he is awesome. He is all wise. Thirdly, the Lord is beyond compare. He's beyond compare. Verses 18 to 20. And also verse 25. Verses 18 to 20 and 25. He's beyond compare. Verse 18. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? You can almost hear the disbelief from Isaiah here. He says, this is your God. Behold your God. He's awesome. He's all wise. Are you really going to compare him to an idol? You see, these people going to Babylon, they were surrounded by all sorts of false gods there. And they would have been tempted to turn to them, to turn to idolatry. And it's as if Isaiah is saying, hello, this is God. Not these false gods. This God of yours, this God of Israel, he's beyond compare. He's not like these other excuses for gods. Look at them. Look at them, verse 19. A craftsman has to make them. He even has to make little chains for them so they don't fall over. They're nonsense. These gods. He's scorning the people who craft and make these idols. He says, imagine the absurdity of bowing down to something somebody has made. And yet, isn't that still the world we live in? The idols have changed, of course, but men, women, they give their love, they give their devotion to something other than God, the material things around them, and they worship them. But compared to God, they're piddly. He's beyond compare, Isaiah says. And we should be asking ourselves, how many of us have set up our own little idols? Something that's replaced God in part of our life. Have we got something or someone that we're turning to with a greater love than God himself? That would be an idol. That would be an idol today. God says, look, I'm beyond compare. I'm beyond compare. He's awesome. He's all wise. He's beyond compare. Fourthly, the Lord is over all. He's over all, verses 22 to 24. Verse 22, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. 22 millimeters is the average size of a grasshopper. 22 millimeters, a little over 2 centimeters. Tiny little things. So insignificant in the grand scheme of things. Here's God sitting on his throne. The people of the earth are like grasshoppers. Even the greatest of humanity. Verse 23, the princes, God just brings them to nothing. Verse 24, when he blows on them, they wither away, they disappear. Some of you gardeners would be horrified at this, but Jonah has recently discovered dandelions. And recently I took the two boys to a park, certainly not into our garden, and into a park. Jonah had great fun blowing the dandelion clocks. They were going everywhere, in every direction. God says, verse 24, the princes of this world, the big important people of this world, I just blow on them like a little child blows on a dandelion, and they're gone. They're gone. He's this great God over all the earth. He's Lord over all history. So friends, we need not panic. We don't need to be in a flap over the persecutors of the church. We don't need to spend sleepless nights worrying about who's in government and who's not in government. We don't need to fret about those things at all. Do you not know? Have you not heard? He's Lord over all. Behold this God this evening. He's awesome. He's all wise. He's beyond compare. He's over all. Fifthly, the Lord is the mighty creator. He's the mighty creator. Verses 26 and 28. Verses 26 and 28. Look up into the night sky, Isaiah says, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created all these? Who created the stars, he says. Look at them. Try to count them. At present, apparently again, at present, there are more than 170 billion galaxies. Each galaxy has between 400 billion and 100 trillion stars. And apparently, that gives you a rough total of stars, that is, of about one with 24 zeros after it. One with 24 zeros, and that's a septillion. Septillion stars. And I think that's an estimate still. There's probably more. Now, how many of them can you name? How many of them can you name? We could maybe name the North Star. After that, I'm out, I'm afraid. I'm done. Behold your God. Verse 26. He who brings out the stars by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he's strong in power, not one is missing. Some of us would struggle to name everyone in this building this evening. God calls every single star by their name, and not one is missing. He's put them there, and he keeps them there, and he knows their names. Of course, to know the name of someone in Scripture is a little bit more than that. It's to know them through and through. It's to know details about them. This is how intricately and intimately God knows every detail of the whole universe. He's the mighty creator. Do you not know? Have you not heard? This is your God. Is there something in your life this evening about which you're saying, well, I just don't know if God can do anything about this. I just don't think God could. I think this is beyond God now. Can he not? Can he not? He's the mighty creator God. He's breathtaking. He's glorious. Our thoughts of him are to be many. He's the mighty creator. He's awesome. He's all wise. He's beyond compare. He's over all. He's the mighty creator. Sixthly, the Lord has all the strength you need. The Lord has all the strength you need. Verses 29 to 31. He has all the strength you need. Coming to these closing verses of the chapter. Now, Isaiah could have stopped at the end of verse 28. He could have stopped at the end of verse 28, and this chapter would still be great. We would be left in marvelous adoration at the greatness, the might, the splendor of our God. But Isaiah doesn't stop there. Under the Holy Spirit, he's a prophet. He's a preacher. He's not just concerned with marvelous truths and doctrines, just filling our minds. And that's great, but it's not just that. And so he touches this down into our lives, into the nitty-gritty of our lives, the day-by-day nature of life in these final verses. Asking, and in these closing three verses, is there someone here who's weak? Is there someone here who's about to give up? Is there someone about to give in? He says, there's strength available for you. There's might available for you. This ever-strong God, he gives strength to you. Isaiah recognizes that even the strongest of people, even people in their prime, in the peak of life, even young men can grow tired and weary and stumble and fall. He says every human strength has a limit. There's an end to it. But do you not know? Have you not heard? There are heavenly resources that can be had by sinners when they ask their God in heaven. Here's a God who gives strength to the weak. We don't need to be strong in and of ourselves. He's the strong one. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Take a moment to watch a bird flying in the air and just think of the ease that they appear to go heavenwards. How effortless it seems. Isaiah pictures a man, woman waiting on the Lord, and it's as if they're soaring heavenwards. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here's people, they're waiting on the Lord, Isaiah says. And it's as if they're running and they're not ever slowing up. They're walking and it's as if their strength doesn't know any end. Christian friends, this is your God. This is your Christ, the Christ of the Bible, the Christ whom God has declared, the one who has not just power, but compassion to give strength to sinners, one who can be approached by sinners. What a tremendous truth for us in the difficulties of life. Some of you have tremendous difficulties in life. Awful difficulties. A great obstacle, perhaps. But that obstacle is an easy thing for this God. Some of you feel powerless to keep going in the Christian life, but there's strength available. Some of us feel like we're making slow progress, but wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Some of us feel that we'll never be able to keep the Christian life up, to keep going. Here's a Savior who gives power to the weak, strength to the faint. There's hope for every Christian. There's hope for the weakest of Christians. There's not one Christian who ever needs to give up, because here are eternal resources. And at the end of the day, isn't there an eternal perspective here, a heavenly perspective here? Yes, in this life, we will be faint. We will be weary. We will be exhausted. But in heaven, we will more than renew our strength. And we will run and not be weary. And we will walk and not ever be faint. He will give us everything we need and more. So what a glorious message we have as we leave this 40th chapter of Isaiah. In a sense, very little of what we've been saying this evening has been brand new. But isn't that Isaiah's big point here? As he says, have you not known this? Have you not known this? Have you not heard this? This Lord, he's the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. We do know this. But we need to take it in. We need to behold our God. This God, the God of all comfort. Amen.